To see you all here today. My name is Robert McKeon, Senior Pastor. I want to say hello to our friends in the video cafe, CBC Hispana, and I just think it would be a really cool thing one day to say welcome to our friends in Oak Ridge at our campus there. So looking forward to that opportunity one day. Let's turn in our scripture this morning to 2 Timothy. Would you stand with me as we read God's Word? We do this in order to show our respect and submission for God's Word. God's Word is our authority. God is our authority, and He is revealing His will in His Word. So we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy is way deep in the New Testament. Now, we're going to study this passage today, so you really will want to find it as soon as you can. You might almost want to start from the back, but it's a very small book that Paul wrote to probably his closest protege in ministry, Timothy. So this is person to person, pastor to pastor, and this is God's word for all of us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 say, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Amen? Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your Word never fails. We thank You that Your Word is accurate, true, and applicable to life. We thank You, Father, that You have not let us drift in this world of many ideas and thoughts about who God is, but You have revealed Yourself definitively in Your Word. Ancient words, Lord, and may they find their way into our hearts once again. May we open our hearts to receive everything that You want to say to us today. Open our eyes, Lord, as the psalmist said, that we might behold wonderful things in Your law. We thank You for the centrality of the Word of God in our lives, in this ministry. And we thank You, Father, for the power that the Word of God has to change our lives. So use that to change us today. And so, Father, we pray for everyone in need of a change of any kind, whether it be employment or health, a closer walk with You, strength in their marriage, help in parenting, whatever it might be, Lord. And we pray that You would equip all of us to do every good work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. A mirror is one of the most handy tools, I think, that you can own. For the record, this pink one is not mine. I got to talk to the props people just to, you know. Anyhow, what do you do with one of these things? You hopefully take a look in the morning before you go see people in order to make any necessary adjustments or improvements, right? Then you feel like you're ready to engage the public. So, hold on a second. Saw a little bit of breakfast there still. Not good, huh? Actually, that was not true, but a mirror is such a handy tool. And the reason why is because it shows us who we are. There's no way that we could really see what we look like apart from a reflection, so that's why a mirror is such a necessary thing in our lives. And it helps us to see the details of our face so that we can see what we truly look like. And I think it's because of that that the Bible compares itself to a mirror as well, doesn't it? The Bible compares itself to a mirror, for example, in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Let me turn there and read that to you. James chapter 1. James says this about the Word of God. He says, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." And so, James says that in the same way it would be foolish to look into a mirror and see yourself and see a piece of spinach hanging from your teeth and not do something about it, but set it down and forget that, in the same way to listen to God's Word, to hear it, to read it, to study it, and not to put it into practice, to not make use of it, to not do it, would also be a very futile, foolish task, right? So this morning, as we continue our series, We Are CBC, talking about our vision, talking about our identity, our DNA, especially by looking at what our name reveals about who we are, we're going to see that at the very center of our name and at the very center of our church is a commitment to the Word of God. We are based on the Word of God. We are a church that is committed to reading, believing, teaching, and applying the Bible to life. And so that's where we want to go this morning. So turn with me back again to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. Now, as you turn there, 2 Timothy is probably the most well-known passage on the divine inspiration of Scripture. But you'll see that Paul spends more of his time talking about its usefulness for our lives, the purpose of the Scripture, which is meant to be used in our lives and ministry so that we are prepared to serve God as well as we possibly can. So let's begin then in verse 16 and read again what he says. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. If I were to summarize all of that in a principle, I would say that the Bible is divinely inspired and applicable to every area of life. That's the Word of God. It's unlike any other book. It is divinely inspired and applicable to every area of life. Now, notice the first word in that sentence is so important. One of the most critical words in that sentence, all. All Scripture is God-breathed. Not just the Psalms, not just the Gospels, not just the easy parts to read, all Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. And at Community Bible Church, we are committed to all the Scripture because it's all God's revelation. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, that's an interesting term. What does that mean? In Greek, it's the word theopneustos, and some scholars believe it's a word that Paul invented to properly explain what the Word of God is really all about. Literally, theos, God, neustos, breath. All Scripture is the breath of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. That's how the New International Version translates this, quite literally. Some translations say all Scripture is inspired, but I think even more literal is better here because of how powerful that image is. I mean, think about it. Your breath is something that is very intimately connected to you, right? And hopefully as you share it with others, it smells pretty good. But it originates from deep within you, doesn't it? And I think Paul is saying the Scripture is so tied to God's being. It's like his breath. It originates from deep within him. And it is expressed to us so that we can know him. It is God-breathed. It is the breath of God. When I read that, it makes me think back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. When God created the first human being, Adam, and what did he do after he formed him out of the dust of the earth? He breathed into him the breath of life. Taking that same idea, it tells me that the Scripture is filled with life from God. And that is the truest life that there is. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, the Apostle Paul doesn't tell us how God inspired the Scripture here. He just simply tells us that he did. And because of that, some people in our world, maybe some of you here today, are just a little bit unsure of whether or not this Bible is truly the Word of God. Trustworthy, reliable, divinely inspired. I know for a fact that our world dismisses that, right? Calls it simply a human work. Now, no doubt God used human beings. He could have produced it all on his own, but he chooses to use human beings for everything that he does in this world because he's a God who loves to share his work with others. And so the Apostle Peter, as a better example, shows us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, some of the mechanics or the process of how God inspired the Scripture using human beings. He says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. He's very deliberate there. No prophecy of Scripture ever originated with any human being. People spoke for God, from God. The interpretation was not their own. It did not originate in the will of man, but men were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, that verb carried along is interesting because in Greek you find it used in nautical circles. It's often applied in sailing vocabulary. And the notion there is that when a ship needs to reach its certain destination, the word carried along refers to the strong wind that comes and drives it in the right direction. What a cool image. Imagine that. The writers of Scripture were all like sailors on a ship, essentially doing their part, manning their part of the ship. But without that strong wind driving it in the right direction, it doesn't go anywhere. And this is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit worked in the thoughts, in the minds and hearts, and in the pens of each author of Scripture to give us God's definitive, reliable word. That's powerful. That should increase our respect and reverence for the Word of God, because it is the truth from God Himself for our lives. And yet, at the same time, skeptics disregard the Bible as just another book of human opinions. I heard one time about a skeptic who was talking with a friend of his who was a believer, and the skeptic was arguing against the Bible, and he said, "You know, I don't believe that the Bible is God's Word because I don't know who wrote it." And the believer said, "Do you know who created or wrote the multiplication table?" And he said, "Of course not." He says, "Then you must not believe in that either." He says, "Yes, I do, because it works." And the believer said, "So does the Word of God. It works." One of the ways that you know that this is God's Word is if you live by it, if you apply it to life, you'll be amazed how much of your life works the way God designed it to be. And that's exactly where the Apostle Paul goes next. In verse 16, he talks about the divine inspiration of Scripture, but notice he says that it is useful, it is applicable for basically every area of life. Notice these four dimensions. First of all, he says it is useful for teaching. Now, we know that. That's what I'm trying to do this morning. The Word of God has much to teach us about who God is, about who we are, about this world, and about the way life works. The Word of God is useful for teaching. Now, friends, by the way, that's what doctrine is all about. That's what theology is all about. As unpopular as those words are for some believers in some churches, they are absolutely vital. Theology is the study of God. That's the most important subject that there could possibly be. We need more doctrine, not less. We need the Bible to teach us how to understand and serve God faithfully and accurately. But as I've been teaching the Bible for 15 years now almost, as I engage believers in their Bible reading habits and so forth, I've come to conclude that most Christians have never read the entire Bible all the way through. So in some sense, the concept of all Scripture is missing from their lives. And if anything, most believers probably just know the highlights of the Scripture, the big stories. Now, when I was a kid, one of my favorite toys was the ViewMaster. You remember this thing? This was the original Xbox. In fact, for our day, even better, because you know what? This required no electricity, so it was already green in its day. That's right, no global warming happening here. And so what did the ViewMaster do? It would tell you a story in slides, right? And so you would look into this device and you would just click along, and the little round disc would just take you through the scenes of a story without words, just the big idea, so that you could sort of string the whole thing together and learn the story from start to finish by the time you went around the circle. The viewfinder, the ViewMaster. And I think that's how some believers approach the Bible, looking for the highlights and trying to string the story together. And for the most part, it makes some sense, but there's an awful lot missing. And all Scripture is God-breathed. So what do we know about the Bible? You know, most of us think about, well, there was creation, and then there was the fall, and then a flood came along. I remember something about a tower, this guy Abraham, and a whole bunch of family. Then they were slaves. I don't know why, but they were. And then Moses came along and set them free. Walls came tumbling down. Kings, 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 kings. Jesus. Apostles. Crazy visions, the end. The Bible in viewfinder mode. You're like, what's wrong with that? That's exactly the Bible I know. Is there something else missing? All Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching. It has much to teach us, even in places that don't make so much sense, even in places that aren't the most helpful or applicable at the moment, nonetheless show us more of who God is. And so for that matter, let me take you back to the challenge I gave you on January the 1st, the Bible reading challenge. I challenged our church to do what I'm doing, which is to read the whole Scripture through in 2012. If that's too ambitious for you, I said, why don't you just take the whole New Testament through this year? So, moment of truth. Raise your hands if you've taken me up on that Bible reading challenge. All right, not bad. Good for you guys. Now, raise your hands if you started but you've fallen off the wagon since. Let's be honest, sinners. Honest sinners, because some of you were like, It's not too late to get back on the wagon. And let me suggest you do that today, because it's a lot harder in a month from now. But there's so much value in reading through the Scripture. 15 minutes a day can change your life. We can all spare that. God's doing amazing things. And so, the Bible is useful for teaching, but that's not all. As we read the Bible, it reveals who we are like a mirror. It shows us some of our faults and flaws that need to be changed. And so, therefore, Paul says the Bible is also useful for rebuking. The Bible is useful for rebuking. What is a rebuke? It's a strong disapproval of something. Strong disapproval. It's pointing out to someone that something is wrong. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be mean-spirited. You know, the Bible says to speak the truth in love, right? And you know how this is if you're a parent. You see your children doing something that they shouldn't be doing. It's probably reckless for them. And you have to sometimes, with firmness, say, stop doing that. And that's somewhat of a rebuke, right? You have to rebuke them. And there are times when we read God's Word and God rebukes us through His Spirit to show us that something in our lives is out of place, it's wrong, and it's time for a change. Sometimes we're called to rebuke one another, the Scripture says. Titus chapter 1, verse 13 says that if anybody is teaching heresy in the church, elders must, and I quote, rebuke him harshly. So it even applies some real teeth to that, because there can be no margin for error when it comes to teaching the truth. We don't want to teach heresy. We don't want anybody to mislead people away from Christ. We're doing everything we can to bring people to Christ. And so those who teach heresy must be rebuked harshly, the Scripture says, because they're playing with souls. And so the Bible has a way of just penetrating deep into our hearts, cutting down to the core of who we are, and sometimes rebuking us for things that are amiss in our lives. So I kind of think of that aspect of the Bible as being like a microscope. You know, a mirror can only allow you to see so much about yourself, right? Skin deep. But a microscope, technically speaking, allows you to see at the molecular level, to really get down deep. And that's what the Scripture does. The Scripture sometimes opens and exposes the deepest parts of who we are. In fact, a good place to turn for confirmation of that is Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. And the author of Hebrews there says, for the Word of God is living and active. Remember, it's God-breathed. It's filled with His life. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. So like a microscope, the Bible can pierce and penetrate down to the deepest parts of who we are. That can sometimes be an uncomfortable process, which is why we have to get to know God as well as we can through His Word, because that's how we learn to trust Him when He rebukes us. But God doesn't just point out what needs to change. He also shows us how to change, and that's why Paul adds the next word here. He says the Bible is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. Correcting. The word in Greek is not punitive, it's positive. This is showing someone how to change. God doesn't just say, stop that. He then shows us what we can and should do. He shows us how to change. He gives us the guidance that we need in order to improve. He gives us His Spirit and His Word to help make it happen. He doesn't leave us on our own, but He corrects us in a loving way. If all you did with your kids was just point out their errors, but not show them how to change those things, how to improve, how to do the right things, you would only be doing half the job of parenting, right? And so God corrects us. And then finally, he says, the Scripture is useful for training in righteousness. Training. I like that. Because this is a time in the year when a lot of people are doing some training, right? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Getting back to the gym. I have a personal trainer. I do, for the first time in my life ever. Alan Branch of Fitness One in Kernersville, and he's a part of CBC, and I pay that man money to beat me up. What is wrong with that picture? But I'll tell you what, you know, he's put me on an exercise training program on a strict diet of 1,600 calories. I've lost 7 pounds since January the 2nd. How about that? And I did it without Weight Watchers, so they get no money. Anyhow, at this rate, by the end of the year, I'm going to weigh 12 pounds. Elizabeth can just put me in her purse and take me places. That's awesome. But it's training. And you know, it's a really cool program that he has, so I'm learning tons and I'm staying interested and it's working for me and it's training me. So training I'm learning takes work, it takes commitment, it has great benefits. But the Word of God trains us for something ultimate, something eternal. Can you agree with that? Training in righteousness. Our character, our commitments, our behaviors, our habits, all that's tied up in that concept. We are being trained in righteousness. So look at that impressive list there. The Bible is divinely inspired and applicable to every area of life. It's like the Discover card. Every time you use it, it pays you back. You gain improvements, you change, you grow. And we'll see the ultimate purpose of it is that we can be more useful to God. But my favorite quote about the Bible comes from the old evangelist Dwight L. Moody. He was the Billy Graham of his day back in the 1800s. Some say probably led more people to Christ than the great Billy Graham. But he used to say this about the Bible. I love it. He used to say, "The Bible was not given for our information, but for our transformation." The Bible is not FYI, it's FYT. That's my addition to his statement. It's not for your information, FYI, it's FYT, for your transformation. If we read the Bible and we don't assimilate it into our lives, we just haven't done what God intends for us with his word. Now, let me just take a moment to mention a few things about this big stack of books, because I'm often asked by people, which Bible version is best or right? Because we have so many Bible versions today. Just in my office alone, and this isn't even all of them, there's a whole stack of different versions. New American Standard, New King James, New International Version, The Message, the New English Translation, the New Living Translation, the English Standard Version, and the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And I could probably have added at least that many more different Bible versions or translations. And people ask me, well, which is the best? Well, let's just be honest about it. The best Bible version is the one that you read, right? That's the best one. It's the one that you read. Now, I will say there is definitely one Bible version that is no good. It's the New World Translation. It's the Jehovah's Witness Bible, and it has deliberate alterations to undercut the identity and the deity of Jesus Christ. So it teaches heresy. But all of these versions are great. One of my seminary professors would say, it's wonderful that we have so many versions because, and I do this from time to time, you can compare and consult. And you can see the same meaning is right there. The same truth is right there. There may be some slight adjustments in words, but it helps just enrich your overall sense of what God is saying. In fact, this year in my Bible reading plan, and I'm a few days ahead, so that's pretty cool because I like to build up a little buffer in case I have a bad week. But I'm reading through the New Living Translation this year, and I preach from the New International Version. And because I've read through the Bible numerous times, you know, year by year, I'm finding that reading it now in a different version makes me think more about it. And I'm hearing familiar passages, but with different words, and I'm kind of going, huh, didn't realize it said it quite that way. So it doesn't really matter, I think, which version you choose. You just want one that is considered faithful and accurate. The New International Version is the most widely read and purchased, so that one still kind of reigns. Some people fight about the King James. Nobody speaks the Queen's English. In its day, it was a novelty because the Bible was only in Latin, so they brought it forth in English for people. But it's long since run its course, in my opinion. Still the Bible, still the Word of God. But we speak a different sort of English today, so we should improve our understanding. Now, in addition to that, you may want to supplement your tools with a study Bible, and that's this section right here. Here are ones like the NIV study Bible. Here's a really cool one, the archaeological study Bible. Shows you all kinds of archaeological information about it. The English Standard Version study Bible has a great set of notes. Ryrie study Bible, MacArthur study Bible. Sometimes they're put together by certain pastors and personalities with their specific notes and interpretations. These are good tools. So as you start reading through the scripture, you may find confusing, challenging things, and you may want to know a little bit more, and those notes can help. But sometimes those notes don't cover the whole situation, and so you may want to turn to either Bible dictionaries, which can define people and places and concepts for you, so you get a better grasp of that, or Bible commentaries, which even go further into greater detail to explain some of the scripture. So if you want to come up later on and peruse some of these, feel free. I did not say help yourself. I did say just look at them. But every believer, I think, should have a good Bible that they're committed to reading through. And then perhaps a study Bible and some other resources that will just help you if we're serious about learning God's Word. Now, let's finish this sentence with Paul, because I've paused this right in the middle. In verse 17 now, he tells us what the purpose of the Bible is. He says, and let's just take it again from the top, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. But friends, none of those things are ends in and of themselves. Here's the purpose now. All of that is meant for verse 17, so that, see, that's a purpose statement, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The purpose of the Bible is so that you and I will be thoroughly equipped for every good work that God calls us to do. Thoroughly equipped. You ever feel inadequate in trying to serve God? That's where I live every day. I am telling you, every season of my life that changes, I find God calling me to do new things, more things, uncomfortable or even difficult things. I feel inadequate to serve God every day. I am probably the most inadequate one of us all, to be quite honest. When I look at my life story and how poorly I was set up to be a husband and a father and a pastor, I'm the most inadequate of us all, I think. And so I depend on God's Word. I need the truth of God's Word, because God promises that if I'll just trust Him and do what He says, I'll be thoroughly equipped for whatever He calls me to do. And the same is true for you. And so if you're timid in sharing your faith, God's Word will help you become comfortable and capable in doing that. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is and how to serve God that way, God's Word will speak to that issue and help you find clarity around that. If you've never led a small group, God's Word can equip you to do that. That's what we do around here. We try to take the Bible and put it together in our lives so that we can be effective in serving God. The word equip means to make ready. Sometimes I think that as many learning opportunities as we have, and I'm not just talking about here on Sunday morning, in our worship services, or in our Sunday school classes for adults, or in our small groups, all those combine really well, but some of you go further, you do self-study, you listen to a lot of different speakers on the radio, on television, you're learning all those ways. Sometimes I wonder, are we just cramming ourselves with information and not putting it to use enough? Especially when you see that the emphasis is clearly on doing what God wants us to do. In fact, I'm afraid sometimes we can sort of insulate ourselves and use all this learning as an excuse to just not get involved in the doing. That's why this outreach fair is just well-timed for you. Because you can go out there, as I will, and take a look at opportunities to take what you're learning and put it to practice in this community. That's also why we want to start a campus in Oak Ridge. You see, it's because we are passionately committed to the Bible, and as we have surveyed that area, as we've looked at the churches that are out there and the growth that's taking place and the number of people who we can't tell go to church and all these different characteristics, we see that there is a need for more Bible-teaching churches in that community. And so when we see that need and we look at ourselves, we think, we can help meet that need. And wouldn't that be great for God to use us to do so? Let me remind you, if you've been around here for a short while or a long while, in the formation of Community Bible Church some 26 years ago, there was a core group of people here in this community who very much longed for a faithful Bible-teaching church. And so with the assistance of a community from Westover Church in Greensboro, another great Bible-teaching church, they sent a group of maybe 30 or so people over to come and help get that work started. And you and I benefit from that. So we have some folks in the Oak Ridge area who are saying, we need something like CBC here. And so we're going to try to gather as many of those folks as we can who are interested. Not everybody, I'm sure, will participate, but nonetheless, God's going to speak to some and they'll join that effort. But to make this successful, you know what we need to do? We need to send a core of us over there. Because we need to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to put this into use. And I think God is going to change our lives. I think you're going to see God use you in incredible ways. So let me tell you this. If you're interested in finding out more, on your contact card, fill it out. On the very back side, there's a string of letters, the alphabet at the very bottom. If you just circle O for Oak Ridge and turn that into one of our ushers before you leave today, all you're doing is saying, I'm interested in knowing more. We're going to have an informational meeting. We're going to talk about how this is going to work. What's our timeline? What's our strategy? What are our needs? What are the exciting opportunities? We're going to talk about all of that in that informational meeting. All you're doing is committing to come to that meeting. And then you'll find out more. So you can process and pray and see if God is leading you to be part of that effort. I think it's going to be fantastic to see God change lives in that community, because we have a heart of compassion, because the harvest is plentiful, and because God has equipped us to do every good work. Let me also mention that every single one of us needs more spiritual nourishment than what I can possibly give you here on Sunday morning. And that's why our small groups are also so very vital to who we are. What I love about the way we do small groups here, for the most part, is that there's an intent there to apply the Bible to life. The goal of our small groups is to take what we've all learned together on Sunday morning and go further with it. Instead of rushing on to the next thing, take out the microscope, look at it more closely, and then discuss in community together, how can we put this into our lives individually and as a group and as a church? There is so much value in that, friends. So if you're not part of a small group, sign up for one today. You heard John Edwards at the beginning of our service say, there's a small group for everyone. We will find one for you, a good one. But we need those experiences in our lives so that the Bible is truly useful to us day by day and week by week. Every now and then I get an encouraging note from someone, and I got one last week from one of our CBC members. She's a mom, and she was telling me about her son, who is a young man. And he'd gone off on a trip, and he was in another part of the state, and he went along with some other family to a church out there. And when he came back home, he said to his mother, and I'm not saying anything negative about anyone, but he came back saying how much he liked CBC better than any other church he's been to. And that's nice to hear. It was not forced. He's a young man getting ready to emerge into the next stage of his life. But she reported that back my way. But here's the really cool part. When she asked him why, he said, it's because we teach the Bible clearly in ways that matter, and he's connecting with the Word of God as the most important part of what he's experiencing here at CBC. And I just said, man, that is so awesome, because that's what we want for everyone. That is what we want for everyone. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad that that's what we're about? Because God wants us to know him, and he's given us his Word, and together we are CBC. And I got this on the video. So there you have it. Look for it in an opportunity in the future near you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Word, the Word of God, the Word of truth. Lord, we thank you that your own Son is called the Word of God. He was in the beginning with you, and the Word became flesh. And so we thank you for the very words of life contained in Genesis through Revelation. We thank you that over time, the Bible has been so carefully preserved, demonstrated to be faithful and true, having changed countless lives. And so, Father, we're so grateful to be custodians of your Word. Help us to be students of it. Help us to be practitioners of your Word. Father, we don't want to forget what we look like. And we see, when you show us who we are, the beautiful things that you're doing because of Jesus in our lives and the things that are yet to change. And so we pray for that help in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, another great Old Testament passage about the scripture is Joshua 1:8.